Jesus, we thank you for the words of life that we're here to celebrate today, that Jesus is alive. We thank you that because you are risen, we have a gift of the same Spirit that raised you from the dead. And so we pray that you administer and speak to us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Jesus died on that first Good Friday, a few chapters before this, we read of him having a moment of prayer, praying for his disciples, praying for the church that would be, praying for all those who would come to believe in him through their words. And his prayer, right at the heart of his prayer, was a prayer for unity, a prayer that we would be one, that we would be united. And in many ways, the cross that we remember on Good Friday, where Jesus died for us to forgive us all, is a place of unity. It's a place where we discover we all need forgiveness. We all need God's grace in our lives and his mercy, words that are associated with his love. We need to be reconciled to God. We all need to recognize that doing things our own way hasn't worked for us. And so there's an opportunity to try to do things God's way, and the cross makes that possible. As Bishop Richard Jackson, the former Bishop of Lewis, once said, the cross is a level playing field where all come in need of God's love. But the cross of Jesus Christ, the Good Friday events, then what it was for and why Jesus did it has also, it's fair to say, been a bit of a cause of division over the years. There's been many times in which different churches have had different opinions about why Jesus died, what exactly happened on that day, what it was for, the theology of understanding why, and all those kind of things has caused many people to disagree, mostly in a healthy way, sometimes in an unhealthy way, about those things. It is possible to be a Christian and have varying views of the cross. There are varying views of the cross across the wider church. There are probably various views of the cross within this church as well. We will all have our different understandings of its significance and of what actually happened. I wonder then, if that has been the cause of some division, whether our unity can be found somewhere else. And I think my personal view is that what truly unites Christians around the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The proclamation that Jesus is alive. Because belief in the very resurrection of Jesus is required in order to be Christian. Because without belief in the resurrection of Jesus, there is no Christian. By very definition, to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Christ. And you can't follow a God who's dead. But you can follow a God who is alive. You can believe in and follow his principles, his teachings, and his ideals, but that doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. Without the resurrection, he can be nothing more to you than a person in history who'd said and did good things. But if he is alive, then something else is at play here. The choice we're all faced with the whole understanding of Jesus, is either to not believe in the resurrection and therefore nothing changes and life goes on as normal, or you do believe that Jesus is alive and it changes everything. There can't be anything in between those things. It can't make a slight difference. If Jesus is alive, it changes everything. To the Christian, the resurrection of Jesus is the single most important before and after moment in history. Nothing compares to it. Because if we believe he is alive, then he's worthy of our worship, of our lives of surrender, of commitment to him. If he is alive, then we can continue to follow him and know the Father through him. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't believe in the resurrection. By definition, it's just not possible. I don't follow a set of ideals or teachings or life lessons from a God who is dead. I believe that I follow a Jesus who is alive, who is risen. And I believe he is what truly unites us as his church. We may disagree on other things, but we all claim, if we're a Christian, that Jesus is alive. And it was this claim of Jesus being alive that made Christianity so dangerous to the Roman Empire, the Roman rulers of the time, to the Jewish leaders who were threatened by the claims that these Christians were making. They wouldn't have been threatened by people making a claim of a God who was dead, of Jesus who died on the cross. No one could contest that was happened. It was a proven fact in history. Most of them witnessed it happened, and it didn't cause any major threat to them. But the claim of those first Christians was far more radical than that. They were claiming that their king, their savior, the one they'd followed, the one they'd given the life to, the promised Messiah, was and is alive. And such a king could be a major threat to the Roman Empire, in which only Caesar is allowed to be king. And so these claims were massively bold claims that came with a huge risk of their very lives. And the Roman Empire and the Jewish authorities thought the only way to deal with this would be to wipe out those making the claim. Little did they know that if the claims they were making was true, then there would be no way they could stop what God had begun when Jesus rose from the dead. Because what he gave those first Christians was the same power that caused that resurrection. Nothing was going to stop that. Which is why 2,000 years later, we can still celebrate it today, because nothing has stopped it. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives in us. It was the resurrection of Jesus that changed Thomas's life. Of course he believed in the crucifixion. He saw it happen. Of course he believed that Jesus died and probably knew about God's grace in that moment. But it was when he encountered the risen Jesus, everything for him changed. Well, you're sure you know the story of Saul in the Bible. Saul was a Jewish leader, a persecutor of Christians. He believed that what the Christians were claiming about Jesus was blasphemous and wrong. Saying that Jesus was alive was outrageous to him. And so he was trying to wipe out as many Christians as he could until he had an encounter. And unlike others before him, he didn't have an encounter with an angel or just have a dream or just have a vision. His life was changed with an encounter with the risen Jesus stood in front of him. That's what changed his life. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no life. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no hope of eternity. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the church is nothing more than a social club that gathers together once a week. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there is no gift of the Holy Spirit. Without the resurrection, there is no power to save, to heal, to see lives transformed and changed. Without the resurrection, countless brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the generations have literally given their lives for nothing. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the New Testament simply just wouldn't exist. Saul would not have been Paul, and many lives would not have been changed. Without the resurrection of Jesus, death has the last word. But it doesn't, because Jesus is alive. Death does not have the last word because Jesus is alive. There's a passage in Romans where Paul talks about being more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And what that means is that a conqueror is somebody who has a defeat over their enemies. They beat their enemies. But if you're more than the conqueror, what that means is your enemies then rise up and serve you. Jesus has not only conquered death, death now serves him, serves his purposes, because he is alive. We can be alive. Because he is alive, death does not have the final say. Jesus has the final say. Life has the final say. Love has the final say because he is alive. And the fact that Jesus is alive is what truly, truly unites us. You walk into any church, and they may have a different view of communion and what it should be, of the cross and what it should be, how church should be done, how worship should be done. The view will be different wherever you go, but they will all make this claim. We stand here today with brothers and sisters the world over making the claim that Jesus is alive. And he is who makes the difference. He is who we have in common. He is the one who truly unites us together. And it all comes down to this. Either you don't believe that Jesus is alive and nothing changes, or you do believe Jesus is alive and everything changes. Because a Jesus who is alive is worthy of our worship, our praise, our very, very lives. We said that on Tuesday morning in a church in the sleepy village of Staplefield to a school of over 100 children. And when we said those words, either Jesus is alive and it changes nothing, or Jesus is alive and it changes everything, we made an invitation. 40 of those children and 2 of their parents made the decision to believe in the resurrection and give their lives to him. That only happens because Jesus is alive. Do you believe that Jesus is alive? And if you do, are you willing to give him your everything because he so deserves it? Let's just take a moment just to be still. And maybe just to close our eyes, just so we're not distracted by the people around us. It can be very easy to be distracted sometimes. And just to think on that question, you may be here this morning and you may feel that with the evidence that's before you, that you simply don't and can't believe that Jesus is alive. And if that's you this morning, that's fine. But you may be here this morning and the evidence before you leads you to conclude that Jesus is alive. And if as a result of that you want to say yes to him, we're just going to say that's as simple as it is. Just to be able to say, Jesus, I believe you are alive and I want to live for you. The cross really matters. It matters that Jesus died for us. It matters that he forgives us. It matters that we can be forgiven because of him. We need to come through the cross and acknowledge our need of him. But it's the risen Jesus who reveals that to us, who calls us into a living relationship with a living God. So as we sing, we're going to have a time where we sing a couple of songs and just use this time however you want this morning. You can stand and sing, you can remain seated and sing, you can just listen, you can just respond however you want. But if you feel that you want to make some kind of commitment, then just maybe just come and pray with myself or Anna. Will be over here somewhere. If you want to pray, we'd be delighted to pray with you. But let's respond in song, shall we?